Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Phil.
Has it been a good week?
Yeah.
I got a better question.
Okay.
Has it been a good week for you?
It's been a great week for me.
How you
good.
Feeling?
Great. Feeling good. Feeling great.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know, I was talking to... I had a few conversations today that were interesting because you guys know I've been through certainly my share of challenges, and they're not representative of the way my life was up until a certain point. So, you know, things have happened that have really set me way back. And in the moment, they're painful. You know, in the moment, it's a lot for me to deal with. And what I always explain to people, because sometimes they approach me with a little bit of, you know, pity. Ah, you know, poor you. And this is a reality, and I don't know how much of it is really innate and how much of it I've developed. I would say probably 4 times in my life I've been depressed. And I don't mean extended. I mean when I was told I had Parkinson's disease, I went through a day, not even quite 24 hours, where I was depressed. I mean, I kept playing over in my head, my daughter visiting her drooling dad in a wheelchair. You know, it's horrible. But as soon as I get into my brain that there's something I can do, I snap out of it. The only time that I really feel depressed or down is when I feel like there's nothing I could do. So, you know, I have that ability. And again, I don't know if I developed it. I don't know if things had happened to me earlier in my life, if I would have been as strong. I'm not sure. But just this morning, I went to the gym, and I'm not really in a position to do serious workouts, but more for my head than anything else. You know, I go to the gym, and I go through my share, and there's this personal trainer there, and we're at the juice bar, and he reaches into his bag, and he takes out some creatine tablets, and he orders a wheatgrass and a special kind of shake that they make for him. He's a really big guy. And, you know, reaches into his bag and pulls out some other stuff and drinking this and swallowing that. And he's talking to the young girl behind the counter, and he goes, I want to give you a piece of advice for life. You're young, and I want to give you a piece of advice for life. She looks at him, and he goes, whenever things are going well, eventually they turn to shit. And she looks at him, and she goes, really? And he goes, yeah. He goes, you'll learn that if you haven't learned it yet. And now she starts to buy into it. She goes, yeah, well, I was dating this guy, and now he's dating my girlfriend. He goes, you see what I mean? Whenever things are going well, eventually they turned to shit. And then he goes on his phone, he goes, here's a book that even describes, and I don't know what the name of the book was, but he shows her. And then somebody else comes over, and they go, I read that book. I agree. Every time something's going good, you know that Murphy's Law, it's going to screw up. I'm thinking, this is a personal trainer. This is a guy who's impacting the lives of other people. This is a guy who people are relying on for motivation. Now, he's a big guy. I mean, you look at him and you go, whoa, he's a big guy. That's really all you could say. He's a big guy. But the negativity amazes me. So it's no wonder that a guy who walks around with an attitude that says, whenever things are good, you know, shit's coming on the other end, then I think you live that way. So I'm really thankful, and I appreciate you asking, Tony, but I'm really thankful that I always manage to find the good, you know, in something, in what goes on. And the whole health challenge that I've been through has really brought me to this place right now where we're talking about what we're talking about. I mean, had I never been in the role of the patient, and that was nothing I wished for, by the way, I never would have understood the plight of the patient, and I never really could have developed a position where I see value differently than I ever did. So that was a long answer to the question, but thanks for asking, and it's been a great week.
Well,
all right, listen, we're going to talk about money, okay? Okay?
Very good.
Okay. I want to create a distinction between a fee-based economy and a value-based economy. So think about those two terms first before we get into it. And Tony, I didn't quite understand something you posted, but I'm assuming you had a talk with Jason?
Yeah.
Was it a good talk? Was it about money? Because you said something about this will be part two.
Yes, it was a good talk and it was about money.
Okay, Jason, are you here?
I am, yes.
Can you clue us in a little bit just about the meat of that talk so maybe we can kind of pick up where you left off or address whatever it was you guys were talking about?
Well, Tony was kind of telling the group a little bit about what he was what he's been going through lately about just his fear of being priced out of the market. And I was just offering my perspective on the 125 a session and where I'm dealing with it and how I've gone about doing it kind of thing. So it was a very open discussion. We have good conversations, and we see a lot of things on the same level. And it was I told him that what he's expressed to me in the past has been his problem is he's too busy with clients, which is a good thing, but to do really what he really wants to do. And my main point yesterday was that I see this potential at the higher price point of training is his chance to get out of busyness and more into business that he wants to do.
Out of busyness, not out of business, right?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, and, you know, you said something interesting there. Fear of being priced out of the market, right? So the problem is not being priced out of the market. The problem is what?
The fear of it. Yeah, he recognized that. He'll tell you that. It's all within him versus clients are not necessarily turning him down. It's just more his fear of changing who he's serving and, you know, all that.
Okay. All right, so fee-based economy and a value-based economy. Which do you think you would rather operate in if you are a provider of a service?
Definitely value.
Value.
Definitely value. Okay. Now, with value, there's greater risk.
Right.
Because others in your industry may be more valuable, right?
Potentially.
Or may be perceived as more valuable.
Right.
So I want to explain the difference so there's a really clear distinction, and then we'll talk about the difference, and then we'll make sure that really we want the value-based economy. In a fee-based economy, a car wash is $25. That's it. So to get your car cleaned is a fee, is a $25 fee. That means if a guy comes to your house, washes the car, you pay $25. If 16 people come to your house and wash your car, you pay $25. If you go to a little ratty car wash, you pay $25. If you go to a fancy schmancy car wash where they serve hors d'oeuvres, you pay $25 because it's fee-based. It's a fee for service. That's what it's worth. In a fee-based economy, if you want to get your dog groomed, it's $40. Now, maybe it would be $40 for a small dog and $60 for a big dog. But that would be regardless of if you bring it to PetSmart or if you go to a specialty groomer, if they come to your house, it is the fee for the service. So in a fee-based economy, a personal training session is $60. Now, I'll tell you this. There are many personal trainers. I might even venture to guess a majority, if we really took an industry-wide poll, who would prefer that. Why?
You don't have to be better. I mean, if it's average, average will still yield the same as someone who performs a higher level of service.
Yeah, and plus, they don't need the balls to ask for money because it's already established. Right? You do a session, you get your $60. There's no negotiation. There's no how much do you charge. There's never that moment. It's just a fee-based service. So most trainers, again, I haven't polled the industry, but I would guess that most trainers would really, whether or not they'd even admit it, they'd prefer that. If they knew that a session is $60, they could do the math and go, well, you know what? If I did 20 sessions a week, I'd be doing okay. Okay, now let's screw it up. Let's create an insurance reimbursement model. So the idea here is individuals pay money to an insurance company for the just in case. Did I start recording this, by the way? Did you guys hear the recording thing come on?
Yeah, before, yes. Before you came on.
Okay, good. You pay an insurance company, and you hope you never need the insurance, right? That's the way it works. And the insurance company takes your money, and if you never need them, they keep your money. But if you need them, they have to make sure they're paid enough in total so they could give you what you need. So the idea simply is they must calculate what the risk is based on the likelihood of them incurring a cost. So let me think of something absurd. If they were selling insurance to protect your family in case you get killed by a bear, like if you get killed by a bear, there's going to be a $5 million reimbursement to your family. If you live in an apartment on the Upper East Side of Manhattan, they can sell you that insurance for a dollar a year because it's just no bears come to your apartment. But if you go fishing in the wilderness of the Rocky Mountains for a living, they might charge you $5,000 a year for the same service because the risk is different. So when you bring the variable of insurance into a fee-based economy, you create an imbalance. You guys understand that, right? Because the fee is the same, theoretically, but when you bring insurance in, insurance is based on risk, and the risk is not the same. So the insurance company seeks what? What is the insurance company in business for? What would they like to do? Help people? Why does an insurance company, why does somebody decide to start an insurance company? Because they're a great altruist?
Thank you. They're basically hedging their bets.
Make money.
They want to make money. So the insurance company is a really good idea, assuming they bring in more money than they put out. Right? I mean, I'm stating the obvious here. So they're calculating it based on risk with the intention, the sole intention, of making a profit. They don't care about you. They don't care about the bear. They don't care about your kids. They only care about profit. So for them, it all comes down to math. So fee-based economy gets completely screwed up by insurance. Because in order for them to make a profit, they have to determine their fees according to risk. So if something shifts, if something changes that incurs them greater cost, they have to do one of two or two of two things. Now stop me if I confuse you. I want to be really clear here. If something shifts, if the insurance company has figured out how to make money, they go, okay, we're bringing in this much, and a typical annual payout is that much. This much minus that much equals profit. But let's say something shifts, something changes, and they're no longer in a position of profit. If they want to stay in business, they have to do one of two or two of two things. What would they have to do?
I would think raise the rates or diversify.
Okay, they would have to raise the rates, or what's the other simple end of the equation?
Get more customers.
Not necessarily, because it's a percentage.
Gotcha.
So they'd either raise the rates or pay out less.
Or pay out less, right.
Right? I mean, that's, again, simple math. So let's look at the medical field. Let's look at what happened. The insurance companies figured out that if somebody's a smoker, they're going to pay more. There's greater risk. If somebody's healthy, they're going to pay less. There's less risk. If somebody has a pre-existing condition, they're going to pay more. And it made sense. And you know why it made sense? Because they knew the fees. They knew the fee of a doctor visit. They knew the fee of an emergency room visit. They knew the fee of an MRI. So it was simple math. So 20 years ago, insurance companies were okay. You needed them, they helped you. Not because they want to help you, they wanted to make money, but the math worked. But what happened? Well, things changed. What was the primary spark for change? Well, we can talk about the environment changing, the food changing, chronic disease becoming epidemic. Those are important. But there's something even more of a catalyst. The drug companies came to love disease. So now understand, the insurance companies wanted to take your premium, but they didn't want you to get sick. You understand that because they wanted to make money. So they really hoped that everyone bought insurance and nobody ever got sick. That would be the dream for an insurance company. The drug companies came along with a different agenda. Who do they want to get sick?
Everybody.
Everybody, right, because that's how they make money. So this is where the whole thing went completely haywire. The drug companies love disease. So if the insurance companies are basing risk on incidence of diagnosis, think about this. In the past, they didn't base risk on incidence of diagnosis. They based it on risk factors, like you smoked, you had a pre-existing condition. But now the drug companies changed the playing field, so every doctor diagnoses every patient with something, so they get a drug. So now we have an epidemic of disease simply because doctors are naming diseases more often. So now risk is based on incidence of diagnosis. And what does that do? It drives costs up even further because you have to pay for the doctor visit and you have to pay for the drug. So now you're going to your insurance company who used to be profitable and you're going, I need $42 a month for this prescription. I need $72 a month for that prescription. And I need this much for my lab tests. So what does the insurance company do? How could they possibly make money? Remember, there are two options. They can raise the rates or they can pay out less. Or they can do both.
They've done both.
Right. So more diagnoses, more people asking for insurance money, and as a result, insurance pays the doctor or the hospital a smaller percentage. Okay, now remember, we were dealing with a fee-based industry. So now there was a set fee. But the insurance company cannot stay profitable if they pay that fee. So they say, we're not going to pay the fee, we're going to pay 60% of that fee. Well, this creates a problem. Because whoever was asking for that fee expected the full fee. In other words, if risk and incidence of diagnosis were both low, and a doctor charges a $100 fee, or let's say a $1,000 fee, for whatever it is. Let's just say for whatever we're talking about, a service, the doctor charges $1,000. Risk is low, and incidence of diagnosis is low. So assuming that the insurance projections worked, and the premiums exceeded the cost, the insurance company would pay $1,000 every time the doctor conducted that service. But because of the evolution of the disease model over the past 20 years, insurance pays about 18 cents on a dollar. So now what does that do to the doctor? The doctor who is operating a fee-based service charged $1,000, still doing that same service. But now he's only getting paid $180. What does the doctor have to do?
They either increase their prices or they find some more codes for them to use, some more diagnosis.
And the first option is the one, because otherwise the doctor's seeing far too many patients. So if the doctor wants to collect $1,000 and the insurance companies are paying 18%, now the doctor has to charge $5,000 to collect the $1,000. Do you understand? The doctor's not asking $5,000 because he got greedy. He's asking $5,000 because he has to support an office. And he's in business to make money. So he knows if I charge $5,000, the insurance company will pay me the $1,000 that I deserve. So now what happened to that fee-based model? It got completely screwed up. The entire fee-based model is out the window. There's a bigger problem now. The doctor who used to have this very clear connection between what he does and what he charges is in a position where if his value is $1,000, he has to charge $5,000. Now, what does that do to the patient who doesn't have insurance? They've got to pay $5,000. Otherwise, it's insurance fraud. So you see how out of hand this whole thing got. And this is why when trainers go, we really want insurance to cover. No, we don't. You know, for years, I remember being in a debate years ago in club industry, and all of these academic people were going, we really need. No, we don't. it would take away our ability to earn what we deserve more than it's been taken away now. So let's forever get away from the idea of standardization and insurance reimbursement in our field. Does anybody want to speak about that at all? Because I want to make it clear that this is not something we want ever. Nothing good will come from it. Unless you're a trainer who charges $10 an hour and you think you're going to make more money, then it might be good for them. So now the entire quality of the field goes down to the lowest common denominator. Is that clear? Did I explain it well? Because it still comes up. I spoke to somebody the other day who's very involved in the academic end of this industry, and her partner insist that they're making efforts to get insurance reimbursement.
Well, even from the MES side, from the medical exercise, there is, you know, that whole notion of it being a congratulatory situation, because one of the people who was an MES just got her approval from Humana to accept insurance. And I myself said I would never do it. I mean, so I agree with you. I'm not on board with that at all.
Yeah, and I do. I really think highly of the MES certification. I do. I don't think it will ever become a credible standard within our field. And the reason is the certification agencies don't want it. And that's a whole other can of worms. So there are people like you and Ernie and a good number of people who can do really well with it. And you'll have components like the YMCAs and Wayne Westcott, and that's good. It's admirable. But as I'm agreeing with you, Tony, you want to be able to set your own value. You don't want somebody else to set the value of what you do.
Right.
So, again, and you have to be careful when you're listening to people who are in the academic realm, because they're not on the ground. You know, they're not doing what you do. So for them, they think it'll be this great blanket of approval if insurance can cover it. They're like, finally, we're recognized. But it's not the kind of recognition we want. Any other thoughts on that at all? Okay. So here's the reality and the challenge for us. We cannot operate successfully in a fee-based model. That's the reality. So although there are many trainers who wish they never had to talk about money, they never had to negotiate, they didn't have price resistance, the world just accepted that it's $60 for a training session or $70 or whatever the number was, although there are many trainers that have that wish, they're naive or they're not established enough to recognize the fault in what they're hoping for. We cannot operate successfully in a fee-based model. Now, I said there's a challenge beyond that. We can't determine from the current personal training field what the model is for value. So that creates the fear that Tony's talking about. In other words, if we were looking for cars, and we're going, let's establish the value of cars. We could look at a Ferrari, and we could look at a Hyundai, and we can set some standards as far as value. It's not fee-based. Nobody says a car equals $10,000. You could pay $150,000 for a car, you could pay $250,000 for a car, or you could pay $12,000 for a car, or $6,000. So it is a value-based model. And you could look around that industry and determine your value based on standards. Real estate is a value-based model in flux. If you want to put your home on the market, you look at the comps. You look at what the other homes sold for. And if you have five bedrooms, you look at a five-bedroom home. If you're in a neighborhood with good schools, you look in a neighborhood with good schools. If you have a swimming pool, you look at homes with swimming pools. So it is value-based, and you could look around the industry to determine what your value is because there are comps. That doesn't exist in our field. We cannot determine from the current personal training field what the model is for value. Do you guys agree with me on that? You're free to disagree. I want a little milestones or checklists as we go, because I don't want to move on to the next concept until I know that you're with me on this one.
I agree.
So if I can say that differently, most trainers, quite frankly, fail to serve the weight loss market, the chronic disease market, the fearful, misinformed market. Most trainers fail to serve those markets well. That doesn't mean they will refuse to take on a weight loss client, but they don't serve that market well. Those are the people who will blame themselves. So there's not a whole lot of stress for the trainer. They don't agonize over it because they're kind of used to the fat woman being happy when she lost 4 pounds and kind of expecting to gain it back. So we can't compare ourselves, if we are really strong in that market, we can't compare ourselves with the trainers who serve that market because they do it poorly. If we are helping people reverse chronic disease, there aren't trainers doing that well. So sure, there are trainers. I might have told you that I spoke to a trainer for a long time who ran a program for years, a hospital-based program, the diabetes education program in a hospital, and he didn't believe you could ever reverse diabetes. So if I have a history of taking people on with type 2 diabetes and they don't have it anymore, where is the value-based model for that? I can't find it in my field. So I'm not going to be in a fee-based model, but how do I establish a value-based model if there aren't any comps? So if we take a trainer who charges post-pregnancy moms $100 a session, and I happen to know somebody who's very, very good with that market. It's her niche. It's her specialty. $100 a session, and her specialty is post-pregnancy moms. And she has a track record of getting them back to their pre-pregnancy weight. Then that $100 per session would be now an establishment of value for weight loss in the field of post-pregnancy moms. But does that mean, does that carry over to a 54-year-old woman with a hypothyroid condition and a blood sugar irregularity? No. Why doesn't it? Isn't it still the weight loss market? No. It's a different problem, and so a different solution. So the challenge is, when you look at the industry, there's nobody to follow. I speak to people. They call me. They go, I'm doing what you're doing. I'm in the medical end of the field. And ultimately, they're talking to me about something completely different, like insurance reimbursement or disease management. That's not what I do. Or doctor referrals. That's not what I do. We can look to the medical model, right? Wrong. How can we follow the medical model to determine value if it's been fully corrupted by insurance? So who do we follow? So when Tony talks about being priced out of the market, I have to ask you, Tony, priced out of what market?
Priced out of the perception of being in the same boat as the trainer.
But that's your hang up right now. That's where your head is. Your fear is that you are tied to that trainer. Your fear is that maybe you're not able to be perceived as something different. And at this point, knowing you as I do, it is a completely irrational fear. You are nursing negative talk. It has you wrapped up. It is seducing you. Because if you understand the economics of what I'm saying, why would you fear raising yourself up above an industry that limits you? There's not a value match here. Now let me prove it to you. Let's take the 54-year-old woman who I just described versus the post-pregnancy mom. The post-pregnancy mom went through everything she expected. She bought a book called What to Expect When You're Expecting. And she read month one and month two, and she exercised exactly as she was supposed to, and she did her Kegel exercises, and she did everything right, and she changed her diet. She warned her husband about the hormones. She did everything right by the book. And then she had 27 post-pregnancy pounds, and the trainer, who's very used to this, knows exactly what to do. We get her to eat better, we get her to exercise, and the weight comes off. Now, half of that weight would have come off anyway because there's a hormonal shift. So now this trainer who works for post-pregnancy moms appears to be a specialist, and she is. But now the 50-some-odd-year-old woman who comes to her with some chronic disease, she says, I hear you're a weight loss expert for women, and the trainer goes, yes, I am. It's a different case. She doesn't have a hormonal shift that's going to return by itself. She doesn't have weight that's going to go away because the baby has left the body. It's not apples to apples. So who do we follow? I'll tell you this. I followed nobody. Now, at first, if I go way back in my career, I followed everybody. It's what you have to learn by modeling, by imitating. But I started to find questions that nobody seemed to have the answer to in my field. I mean, I remember very early on, I remember meeting overweight exercise physiologists. I couldn't understand it. I remember working with overweight aerobic instructors who would teach four classes a day. I couldn't understand it then. So I had to start to look outside of my field. And there came a point where I felt like if I follow everyone, then I'm going to get the same results as everyone, and they're not necessarily the results that I'm looking for. And then I met some inspirational people who were getting results in all different fields, and I learned from them. But I didn't follow them. I learned from them. But the truth is, I followed nobody. I did what I did. I delivered value. I charged what I believed was fair, and I created happy customers. And so for me, the new model was established. So why did I achieve a position years ago when trainers would come to me to learn? Because I established that model. Now, what happened is our industry got somewhat bastardized. Everybody started to look at what I was doing, and they thought, I could make money teaching trainers how to make money. And they created all of these different programs, and I stepped away. But the fact is, I created a different model. The orientation and not doing the free consultations, I created that. Now, I don't say that to boast. I'm saying that because I want you to understand what I was looking for didn't exist in my field. So when we look at the value of reversing disease, which I believe is the most opportune market in the country, if not the world right now, it's not because I love this. It's because it is the most opportune marketplace I have ever seen, ever. It is most adults, and they don't have a resource. And they spend money. So when we look at the value of reversing disease, something that few trainers and few doctors can do when it comes to chronic disease. We can't look at the value-based model because it doesn't exist. We have to look at what it's worth to the client. So now, if we look at what the average client has spent by the time they come to us, I'm talking about the average client who was diagnosed with something minor. Most women, 45 years old, are taking a thyroid pill, which means there was a diagnosis. Now, they don't walk around constantly complaining about it, but on the inside, it eats them up. It bothers them. If you go to any of your clients over 45 years old and just look in their medicine cabinet, you're going to find something. Something that's current because they renew it every month. So if we look at what the average client has spent by the time they come to us, already on drugs, already having gone to doctor visits, already trying supplements and programs and diets and medical procedures and special foods and books and workshops, I can promise you they're well over $20,000. Because we were raised in an industry where we think $100 is a lot of money, we can't even fathom that our clients are spending $20,000 on what I just said to get nothing. But they are. You look at your clients and go, I don't know if they could afford that. They're finding a way. Maybe the household generates $100,000 a year. Maybe they took a second mortgage on their home. Maybe they borrowed from parents. Maybe they reached into a fund. Maybe they're extended on their credit cards, but they find a way. Let me again take a pulse. What do you guys think about what I'm saying? Jason, let me ask you, because you've had some experience with this market.
I'm here. Sorry.
Does this ring true? Jason?
Yeah, ask it again. I'm sorry.
Oh, you didn't hear the whole thing I was just saying?
Okay. I did. I was trying to get my phone off.
Okay. I was just asking if I just gave a whole kind of summary of what people spend by the time they get to you after they've started taking drug prescriptions, doctor visits, lab tests, supplements, trying different diets, trying different workshops. And I said they've all spent more than $20,000 by the time they come to you saying, I'm hypothyroid or I have a blood sugar issue or my doctor said I have type 2 diabetes. I'm saying easy, they spent at least $20,000. And I said, you have touched this marketplace. I wonder if you believe that this rings true.
I agree. Two people come to mind immediately is people that one lady who was suffering with her issues of adrenal fatigue and she had for 7-8 years. And she's been to specialist upon specialist and no one had issues. So I know she spent, you know, a lot of money trying to figure that out. And that was one of her biggest worries, was spending even more money trying to find a solution. So that was the biggest hurdle. But once we got through it, within 2 months, we had her pretty much fixed as far as her energy needs and her problems she was experiencing. So that was one of the biggest first initiations for me that this thing really is powerful and can work in a really big way. And another one, same thing, lifelong problems with digestion and issues with energy and getting hurt and all this stuff going on. And again, she's a person who goes to specialists at the Cleveland Clinic. And so she spent thousands of dollars trying to find solutions. And again, we were able to fix a lot of her issues in a matter of 2-3 months and what we did. So for me personally, I have those two people come to first to mind to know that people are spending the money on it, just changing their perception of the value of what a quote-unquote trainer can do for them.
Right. Now, let me ask you this. Let's just say they spend $20,000, and I think that's a low estimate, okay? Let's just say they spent that, because I'm not only talking about doctors and drugs. I'm talking about diets. I'm talking about books they read. I'm talking about trying special programs they read about in magazines, buying supplements online. They've all tried things. They read an article about how something affects thyroid. They bought that. $20,000, just to pick a number that I think is conservative, what value did they get for that $20,000?
In the end, nothing.
Nothing. So, here's what I'm saying to you, Tony. This is where we pull the value-based model from. The fact that people are spending $20,000 on nothing and Jason fucking fixed them. So, and he fixed them in 2 or 3 weeks. So how can you look in our field? Yeah, you're going to price yourself out of the field because you're not in the field. So what is it worth? If someone has spent $20,000 on no result, and the problem has worsened, right, Jason? As they spent the $20,000, it still got worse. You know, if you are in a state of weight loss resistance, if you have compromised cellular receptor sites, if your insulin is already out of balance with your glucagon, then when you try all these things, it gets worse. So they've spent $20,000 and not only not gotten better, they've gotten worse. The problem has worsened over time. And if you come along now with a solution and a teaching, because Jason, part of the value is you're teaching them, right? It's not just do this squat curl press and then 20 seconds later move to a side front lateral raise. You're teaching them and they're coming to understand. They're not just thinking you do magic. They're starting to understand you understand something that their doctors didn't. Am I right?
Yeah, and that's been my biggest leveraging point for them is showing that, because they're, to your point exactly, their frustrations have built over the years to the point of my biggest challenge was to change their belief that it can be fixed, because they've had so many problems and so many people promising stuff and then assigning a drug or whatever, and it didn't work.
So Jason comes along with a solution and a teaching. He's teaching them, which nobody's ever done. Jason's giving them an explanation of what's going on. Nobody's ever done that for them. He's helping them understand why they failed. And then he's delivering a strategy for change. So I might determine that Jason's value is more than $20,000 because they spent $20,000 on nothing. But there's another piece. Jason is not a parasite. He's not going to look at a desperate marketplace and go, what can I strip them of? And by the way, if we have time and you want to, we can revisit that model of the empath and the parasite, because it remains significant, and I see more and more of it every day. But Jason's not a parasite. He's a professional, as am I. So I have always lived by the premise, deliver more value than people expect. So if we can deliver more than $20,000 worth of value based on what I just said, they're spending $20,000 and not getting a result. So if I can deliver more than the $20,000 worth of value, but charge them less than $20,000, it's a win across the board. So initially, when I developed the Alive program, I looked at the work that I would put in. I realized it would go far deeper than just exercise and eating. I realized that I had to address all 6 points. Brain, immune, gut, you know the 6 points, mind, spirit, and cell. I realized that I was going to have to get to know each client. And I realized above all that I had to change mindset. So if the value is really over $20,000, how could anyone even question $6,000? Which is fair and reasonable for my time commitment. Now, that's my belief. I don't have fear that I'm pricing myself out of the market, because I am setting the value model for the market. Now, is there a value to an hour of a trainer's time if that trainer is valued at $6,000? If that trainer is going to work ongoing with a client, if we consider what the market will bear, if we consider what the client will find reasonable after you've proven your value, and what can not only justify an hour of work, but can also allow for that trainer to hire somebody and still profit, $125 is reasonable. Jason, I'm using you because, again, you started doing this, and you started doing this very courageously, and you've kind of taken it on. You've just had those ahas. You go, oh, you know, everything he said is true. This is working. So for Jason to now say, it's $125 to train with me on a series, to people who see his value as $6,000, who would dispute it? Nobody. So we now have reasonable numbers for a different economic model. $6,000 for an extended program running 10 weeks. $800 for a 21-day program. And $125 per session for recurring one-on-one. That's the model. This is the value model. if you are equipped to work within this model, the only thing that can hold you back is fear. Now, there is one more beautiful piece, which I just skimmed over. The 21-day program works incredibly well. And if you follow the principles that I laid out and deliver all 42 principles over 21 days, it incorporates mindset shifts that lead to compliance after the 21 days. It's a perfect funnel. So if I can deliver in 21 days, it establishes my value, whether the client progresses to the 6,000 or the 125. And it becomes a powerful funnel driving in long-term clients. It is purely value-based. Now, what I've done is standardized the fees. That's why you have a rate sheet. So the standardized fees are not based upon standardized fees within my field, but they're based on value. So I think the challenge for you, Tony, April, Patrick, Tammy, you know, anybody else who's kind of listening, you have a toe in the water and you haven't taken the plunge yet, is where are you? You know, Jim, where are you? I don't mean Philadelphia. I mean, where are you in the spectrum? Are you in the industry where fees run between $35 and $100 a session? Because that's not an industry I want to be stuck in. Or are you in a new field, one that I'm pioneering, one that takes time, knowledge, a specialized skill set that all of you have acquired by this point, and a level of confidence that most trainers will not have for years? Other than here, I don't know where trainers can go to learn this skill set. Do you? I told you I just had a conversation with someone in academia. They wanted me to create some courses for them. And, you know, I looked at their teachings, and they're very good, but they're just very stuck. And I felt like I don't want to step back into that box. So with that, let me ask the question. Where are you? Are you mired in that field where trainers get $35 to $100 a session? And your product really is taking people through workouts and providing inspiration and motivation? Or are you really in a change? Are you really in a field of change and correction? I want to say something that, you know, I share in the principles, but it's really important to understand. The human body, as all of nature, is amazing at balance. You take a 7-year-old and feed them candy, and their blood sugar will be back at 90 3 hours later. The body just knows. With all that sugar changing things, you can just bring it right back to balance. You make that kid run and hop and bounce, you get their heart rate up to 180. And within 20 minutes, their heart rate will be 72. Because the body just knows to bring it back to balance. You make that kid sweat. And then you give the kid a meal, a little bit of water. And somehow potassium and sodium are back in balance. And he's hydrated again. It really is amazing. So when we look at the disease model, we're always looking at an imbalance. And this is why I say the most important thing we have to respect is the balance between stress load and recovery. Because if stress is exceeding recovery, they're not going to get back in balance ever. So we have to teach that. When somebody has high blood sugar or type 2 diabetes, or they have to move to a place of insulin control, we know that the pancreatic hormones are out of balance, but that's not the problem. If we ask why are the pancreatic hormones out of balance? Because the body has maladapted. It's now restoring blood sugar to 140 or 150 because it's been corrupted. By what? By brain, immune system, gut. By mind, spirit, and cell. That's where the answer always lies. Trainers don't go that way. Doctors don't go that way. There's no model. So where are you? Are you embracing this and stepping into it? Because if so, you better charge what you deserve. Or are you still going to let that fear just keep you in that place where you go, deep down, I'm just a trainer? Who can speak to that? Where are you is the question.
I'll speak to it, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
This is Tammy.
I know.
No, you do. I'm not April, so she's the only other girl.
I know who you are.
Well, I've been doing added biofeedback into my services, and have been slammed with referrals. And I had one lady I did, and she went having dinner with her nurse practitioner, and she called me and said, you know, what's this biofeedback? Tell me more. I wanted more information. She ended up coming in, looking at me like I was crazy. You know, what I do is when I do the biofeedback, I take all their information down. I look at their food sensitivities. And then I do a follow-up email with kind of what I found. And then I'll give them links to some, like, educational pieces to understand, okay, what is this? What is this? Some supplementation that will help to bring their body back in balance with some of the different energy systems, whatever. So she drilled me, this nurse practitioner, after she got her email. But she goes, this is what I take from it. Do this, this, this. So I hadn't heard from her, and I got a referral from her this week. And it was a lady, one of her patients, who had cancer, colon cancer, and now her body's just totally out of balance. She goes, I think you need to go see this person. I think she can help you. She's helped me. So I was super excited. So I took her in, did her biofeedback, found out one of the things, she has parasites really bad, which I think is linked to her colon cancer, but we'll figure all that out. But anyway, so now I put her in with Billy for training. So I'll coach her on the on the health side, but she would be the perfect person for the 21-day program, along with another girl that I got this week. Okay. So I'm excited about adding that in, and I have no problem charging that. And as a matter of fact, one of the new girls said to me when I gave her her price, she goes, she's like, I cannot believe this. I've had trainers. I've never seen this. This is, I just got a whole education in an hour. She has skin, they want to put her on Accutane. She has on antibiotics because her skin's inflamed. And, she, you know, so anyways, long story short, I was ringing her up and she said, wow, you're inexpensive. They charged me $125 a session in Miami for nothing. And I said, I know, be thankful. But I want to put her in the program. And then other people I've done their biofeedback. This one guy that he sent me tons of people, I lost 38 pounds in 3 weeks, taking out food sensitivities and adding a couple things in to start, like collagen powder and things like that. And he, after he sent me a few people, he's like, you need to charge more. And I said, I know. But I'm getting there, as the charging goes. I just need to maybe run it by you and maybe the group on how to price that out with the follow-up email because, it's time. I'm putting 2 and 3 hours of time into each person, and I'm only charging $300 for the biofeedback.
Tammy, I'm going to give you some tough love, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You're bracing yourself. That sounded like I'm bracing myself. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a really crazy metaphor, but it reminds me of there's a kingdom. There's a king, and he brings all of the successful royalty to the castle. And he calls down from the tower the healer. And the healer heals them all and goes back to the tower. And they all enjoy very good lives, and they go out into the community, and they live in royalty. And the poor healer in the tower gets her 3 meals a day, mm-hmm. and always just wishes she could be like the royalty. I don't know what you charged, but I know it's not enough.
No, I know. Yes, I know that. I know that because people are getting their food sensitivity panels. I had one couple, and he said, how does that thing work? Because I just paid $3,000, and you just told me the exact same thing.
But don't you see that? Don't you see that's the king saying to you, "I'm going to keep you because you're good and you're cheap."
No, I don't
want them to even make that comparison. I just want you to be able to say it's $6,000, and they go, "Really?" And you go, "Yes."
Right.
And then at the end, they go, "It was so worth it."
Right. But that's what I was getting. So I'm ready for those programs. It's just like implementing them and like, you know, and getting like the 21-day program. Am I working? I know I'm working, especially the ones one-on-one, but I'm working with people all across the country. I have a lady that flew in to sing with Andrea Bocelli, and somebody called me and asked me if I could go do her biofeedback. And I've been working with her, and she just is keeping me updated, and she's doing it on a consulting fee. So she pays me for my time on the phone or my emails.
How much?
Well, $100 an hour.
Okay.
So if, you know, whatever time I spend, kind of like an attorney, I take, you know, this is your bill, and that's for the Wellness Matters consulting part. So she just, I mean, she's thrilled. She had a vocal cord issues, and a lot of it was going on in the body. She had major digestive
issues. So tell me, here's
issues.
The simple shift, and I'll talk to you gladly, but I'm going to tell you, you're overthinking this. It's really simple. You charge $150 for a consultation if there's nothing attached to it, whether it's biofeedback or dancing, whatever you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's you're going to charge $150 for a consultation, okay? And if you want to include an email and references and places they can go and more educational materials, it's up to you. I would give them the bare minimum, not because I want to hurt them, because I want them to see you as the resource. Like, I don't want to send them in other directions. You still believe you have to justify a lot of this. You are over-delivering and undercharging because you want to prove the credibility of the biofeedback. You're there. You're absolutely there.
No,
you don't have
to
prove anything to anyone. So
I totally get that. I feel like that. I just feel like I need to get them in. Like, she would be a good one in what I was saying. She would be a good one for this 21-day program, but then have, you know, my senator, I just need to know exactly how to work it. I feel like I could sell that $800 program today when my website's going up in the next month. I want that on there.
But here's what I want to say to you. Listen,
the services.
If you're working with people on a regular basis, whether it's on Skype or distance or they're flying in, that's $6,000 for 10 weeks.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. I need to get to that point and just with the Alive, I just feel like I don't know it. I know it well enough from what we've done, but as far as implement it, I just need some guidance on, okay, this is what we do. This is, you know, if I'm doing it from a distance and I'm doing, like you said, the Skype or the Zoom calls or whatever, but it's getting the protocol and following through with it. But I feel comfortable.
Okay.
I feel like I have the audience. I just need to start, you know, being able to offer that.
Good.
And I have an opportunity with two people this week to do the 21-day program. I'm ready to go. I just need to know the how to. So.
Okay. I gave all you guys a link, so it's all there.
So I'm just, that's what I'm saying. I went to that link and it says day one. So on day one, I just sent them that email.
I would teach them the teaching. I would learn it if
so
I were you.
I need to be on there with her. Okay. So I just need to be on there and go over it. Gotcha.
You need to be one-on-one with them. You need to teach them what I would teach them, but you need to teach them.
Right.
So you're charging $800 and you're teaching them. Now, the only thing I ask is if you give that program, just attach my name. Give them some of the handouts. You could say, you know, I learned this from my mentor, Phil Kaplan.
No, definitely. Right.
Right. But you're doing the teachings.
Right. Okay.
So you could meet with them either in person or on Skype day one, day four, day eight. Just follow it. Day 11. So,
okay. Well, I was getting confused with all the handouts, but I'm going to go through so many
you can give them the handouts. That's what I'm saying. You don't have to recreate the handouts.
Okay.
You can give them the handouts. Say the handouts are from my mentor, Phil Kaplan, but you do the teachings.
Okay.
You don't have to recreate the handouts. That would be silly. It's a lot of work for nothing. It's already there.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying there's one handout for every single day. So
correct.
I'm saying if we meet on day one, what am I teaching them day one through day what?
Yeah, there's a webinar. So if you go to the site, you're going
to
see on day one there's a webinar. Go through that webinar. Whatever I'm teaching, that's what you teach. So the teaching takes them through to day four.
Okay.
The day four teaching takes them through to day eight.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I'm promising you, you know 92% of the stuff. You still might pick up a few things and go, oh, I never heard that before.
Right.
All right, Tammy, I'm glad. I'm really glad. But when you say you're ready, then be ready. Like, make this the moment that from this point on, just break out that rate sheet and just follow it. $21 program, $800. If it's somebody who's distance, you know, and they want to work with you, If you're somebody who can help them correct food allergies and get rid of parasites and find the right supplements that work for them, $6,000 for a 10-week program.
Right, and but doing the Alive.
If you want.
To recreate the wheel. Okay, or just recreate that program. Gotcha.
Yeah, my only apprehension, I'm not opposed to you creating your own program. My only apprehension is it creates another obstacle for you. Then, now it's almost my website's ready. Then it'll be as soon as I create the program. Then it'll be as soon as I have the book. So I'm just saying you're ready. You're absolutely ready.
No, I am, and I'm doing it. That's what I said. I've been doing this, but it's like,
good.
It's the programs that I'm missing, so.
Okay, I want to make sure that you never have a financial stress again in your life, because what I'm telling you is you don't deserve it, and you're sitting on it right this very minute. You're absolutely 100% ready. Mm-hmm. So call me anytime you want to talk about this in the next week, because I really want you to feel that you're stepping into it. That consultation is $150, 21-day program, $800, ongoing program, $6,000.
Okay.
You just told me that somebody spent $3,000 on nothing, right? Mm-hmm. $3,000, I got nothing out of it.
Yep, and hear that over and over again. So
I know. So you're making my point. Okay, so I'm happy for you. Just now follow through on it. Like, there's nothing else to wait for.
Okay? Yep.
All right, and like I said, you can call me anytime, and if you need, coaching through the 21-day program of the Alive, gladly, all that you need.
Okay, cool. Thanks.
Okay, awesome. And I like that you said, and I give them to Billy to train him. So Billy is doing a fair amount of training now?
Yep, he's on board since January. And
what is he charging?
Our same rate. So it's $50 a half hour or $100 for an hour. But we do a lot of groups, so we're getting more than that.
Okay.
So I got him training three people at a time. Working
three
with him
people
on the multitasking.
Three people paying $50
three
each?
Three people pay $40 a piece.
Okay.
For a half hour. And if I have, like on Fridays, this group has grown at 8:30, and they charge 30. It's 45 minutes, and we usually have eight people. So I bring him in, and so now I have overflow, spillover.
Good. You married your spillover.
Yeah, well, I'd like to bring another one on.
Okay, don't marry that one, too. You only need to marry one.
One that I'm not married to, so we can take a vacation.
All right, Tammy, I'm going to give you just another thing to think about, okay? This is not a clear instruction. I want you to think about it. If you are charging $125 a recurring session, I know a lot of trainers gravitate to groups, but here's a part of the reason, because they can charge less per person. Okay, so I'm going to say this to you. If it's really working for you, and by the way, if you're making $240 for that group and they're all showing up, that's great. But I would get that thinking out of the way. Like, just again, step into what you are. You are a health catalyst for people at a super high level, where you can tell them things their doctor never told them. You can coach them in a way a trainer cannot coach them. You can send them to Billy, who will be a fantastic trainer under your guidelines. So with all of that said, I believe the bulk of your business should be one-on-one. And I know a lot of trainers like to have a menu because it's safer. Like, they go, well, if you only have $30, I can put you in this group. But if you're charging consistently $125, and Billy too, every session he does, $125 on a series, by the way. It's more if it's not on a series. $125 on a series. Put a pen to it and see where you'd make more money. Because I have a feeling you're spread very, very thin, because I know you, and I know you take on a lot. You're doing a lot of work on the side. So if you could just make it super clean, where you run the programs and Billy does the sessions at $125 a session, it's perfect.
Right,
so
that's
again,
my goal, is to get out of the training mode of it, of the actual being, take on the people, who, like you said, who can afford that rate and have less clients, and let that group exercise still thrive, because it's good money, where I'm not having to be the one running the show at all the sessions. So
it's just much simpler if you're dealing with fewer people and charging more dollars per person. So as I said, put a pen to it, because you're at a place right now where you got to like break out and get your own castle. it's like it's enough of this already.
Right.
Sound good?
Yep.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Tammy. Who else wants to tell me where they are? Tony would be the obvious one to speak next.
Me?
Yeah, you. Where are you? Are you the trainer who's stuck in a fee-based model, or are you really ready to take on what I'm talking about?
I'm ready to take it on. I mean, the conversation that I have with Jason that was really helpful leading up to this point. And I understand the roadblock is me. It's something I haven't, you know, experienced it yet. And the reason why, when you asked that inspirational quote on Tuesday, and I said, you must fight the demons wherever they occur, even if they come from the inside,
yep.
You know, that's exactly where it is. It's a new thing. I had a conversation with my wife, and I said to her just exactly that. I said, I'm just concerned, am I pricing myself out of the market? Now, have I done enough, even with this last slim down, to represent the amount of changes that I've been able to be a catalyst for? Like, absolutely. And I just believe to a great extent that maybe with all the quote-unquote good stuff that I've done here has presented me in a hole that I have to dig myself out of. As a matter of fact, one of my clients just invited us to a gala as her guest at her table. And I would say to myself, you know what, maybe that's the sign that it's going to put me in a position to lead up to the people that are going to be more appropriate to be able to, that are going to be the right clientele at this stage of the game. Like I said before, you told me about going to Long Island, and I thought about it. I ain't going to do that. But I understand that that's figurative to what needs to happen, that I need to be in a different environment with different people who perceive this different and will value it differently.
Did anything that I said today have any impact or not really?
It did. It did. I think the thing that you said that had the most impact was when you said, when you asked what market are you in? And that you've been a bit of a maverick, not a bit, a bit of a maverick, but you've been a maverick yourself where you've never thought yourself into a place where you follow them anymore. You learn from them, but then you created your own path. So I think in a situation here, that's what has to happen. And this exploration of what is new and different, and I haven't been resistant to it at all. It's just that now I know I'm being squeezed by the negative talk, but I'm not going to, you know, just shift it off and say that it's not here, because it's here, and I'm dealing with it.
Okay. The only thing that I picked up here, which still sounds like you're just still in a loop of holding yourself back, is you said you were invited to this gala, and that might put you in front of, and again, you're expecting something external of you to do it for you, and it really becomes a moment in your mind. It becomes a moment of change where you go, listen, I'm not going to alienate my current clients, but I'm not obligated to stay in this price range. It's not a disrespect to them if I step away into a different market. I have helped every single person that I've helped. And because I have undercharged, perhaps I've done them a favor, but I've also done it at my own expense. So it really comes to a moment where you say, from this point on, I charge $125 a session. From this point on, given the right set of circumstances, I charge $6,000. From this point on, if somebody wants to work with me, it's $150 for the consultation. From this point on, it's a 21-day program for $800. It really does become that moment, Tony. Nothing will do it for you because, you know, even if you get introduced to very wealthy people, it's still the same voice inside you that is governing you. This is not about affordability. It's about value. So this is why I said to you, you know, Jason lives in Akron, Ohio. There is a pocket of wealth in Akron, Ohio, but it's not Maui. You know, he's not living in the land of super millionaires who just have disposable income. But when he meets somebody and they've spent $20,000, $30,000, they don't advertise that. They're not waving the banner going, I spent $30,000 trying to cure my hypothyroid. These are working class people. But they manage to do it. So if they want the change that you can provide, they will pay it. So that's why I keep saying to you that change has to be internal. It won't come because you're at a gala. That might be a good leaping point for you, but there just has to be that, I'm going to kick this negative talk's ass once and for all. My next person that I speak to is going to pay me $150 for consultation, period. And if they don't, then they weren't the right person, or you could have spoken to them differently. And I'm only pushing you because your entire life will change. I'm telling you, not only because of money, because that will be a plus, but all of the fear, all of the pricing myself out of the market, you know, all of the concern, you're going to just step into who you really are. And that's a great healer and a true health catalyst. So I think you're doing a disservice to all those people you are going to help by not stepping into that sooner. So it comes down to a moment. I don't think at this point anymore it's going to be like a gradual transition. I don't think like you're suddenly going to meet the guy and you go, oh, he's in a different bracket. I could charge him more. And then you're going to meet someone else and go, no, I'm going to charge this person. I think it really comes down to a moment where you just make a change, where you see yourself differently. And you don't assess, you know, whether this is what is fair in the marketplace. You just know this is what you're worth. So I'm hoping the moment comes like today. That's my hope for you. You'll let me know. All right?
Pull the Band-Aid and go, Tony. Pull the Band-Aid and go, baby.
Well, I know you said that if I don't do it, then you're going to fly to Staten Island and punch me.
There might be a couple of us coming to Staten Island to do that.
Well, I'll make sure if you guys gang up with me, that I'll feed you first or after.
All right. So, April, let me ask you, where are you with all of this?
So I am incorporating it into my own, into the current clients that I have.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some old clients that keep coming back and they keep cycling back. And it's like, okay, it's time to really push this. And push this is the wrong word, but to promote this.
Mm-hmm.
And there's even a couple of current clients that I want to do the 21-day with. The one thing that I concern that I have is, and we've talked about this, you've talked about it on the last couple of calls, about people's adherence to it. That's
mm-hmm.
what I'm really concerned about. How do I get them to really buy in for the
You have to really go through. You have to really go through the way I conducted the 21-day program, because you'll see
okay.
it's all in there. From the
yeah.
gratitude journal, you'll see there's a step-by-step.
Yeah.
Just like there's a progression with the exercise, there's a progression with the mindset.
Okay.
So I have them do the prayer first thing in the morning, and I'm very
yep.
sensitive to, I'm not making it a religious thing, but
yep.
just the idea that they can communicate with their own spirit and
yep.
start the day that way, and they finish with the gratitude journal. All of
right.
these things, from a
yep.
from a neurological standpoint, access the prefrontal cortex. So this is not just get them to think positively. It's not that.
Yeah.
It's a lot more. It's
yeah.
creating wiring to the prefrontal cortex. So as they do
yep.
this for 1 day, 2 day, 3 days, 7 days, 10 days, 21 days, they're creating this wiring where they're now able to see themselves differently. So
yep.
if you go through it, you're going to notice it's subtle. And in fact, I even explain it in the day 21. I kind of tell them, you know, what I was doing. It's creating
okay.
spurts of dopamine. So
yep.
it's the science that nobody is teaching. It's
yeah.
it's really the deepest level of neuroscience and neuroplasticity integrated into a very simple program where they don't need to understand their neurons are connecting. They're just doing it.
Right. And so the last person that I brought through the 3-week program, so we didn't have all of the 21 days of things, but I brought in that gratitude. I brought in the light.
Right.
And I'm doing that with some of my harder cases that they're just not doing any, they're not getting any changes whatsoever, but they're not compliant with everything either. So, so I want to get that mindset starting to change.
Go through the day one webinar
okay.
and you'll hear the way I talk about compliance, because it's different than I do in a live. It's very different.
Okay.
In live, I'm much more relaxed, and I go, listen, you can't
right.
screw it up, right? If you miss a couple of days, you get back on. Here,
right.
I'm emphasizing there's a 21-day strategy, and you want to stick to it. You want to stick to every single piece of it. If something doesn't make sense, you're going to stick to it anyway. So I'm much more forceful, but they have to see the benefit for them.
Right.
And then that I am statement is very important out of the gate. They have to not only create it, you want to hear it. You want them to say it to you.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
So as you go through it, and if ever you have questions, post them on the board or ask them on these calls, because you'll see there's a lot built into that. Like, this was not just a frivolous putting together of 21 days. This was an agonizing creation over the course of 10 years to land on this 21-day program, and I'm serious.
Yeah.
So the trick is taking the complex and making it really simple. But there's so much built into this with all 6 points of the two triangles. It's also going to be a little harder with people you already know because they have associations with you formed already.
Right.
I'm not saying eliminate them. I'm just saying it's much easier with people who never met you before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't get in front of bigger crowds. It would be the trickle that comes in from outside or even the in. Yeah. Anyway. So, yeah. And I haven't really been pursuing a whole lot of crowds as well.
Okay, you don't need a crowd. How many clients do you have now that are active?
I have
About
10.
Okay, so here's what I would do. I would write the list of 10. I know you know who they are, but I would still write the list to make sure you do it with every single one. And when you first get with them, before your session, before your discussion, here's what I would say. I would say, I have learned an incredible new approach that enhances everything I already do, that is fantastic for helping people with weight loss resistance lose weight. Who do you know that really needs this? And I would just ask every one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you ask 10 people, they all know somebody. And they may go, no, nobody. And then they'll call you that night. And they'll go, you know what? My daughter's friend's mother. So you don't have to get in front of people. You're already in front of 10 people. So just ask them, because I think if you bring people in cold, you start from a different level of their perception of you.
Yeah.
And how much are you charging for the 21 days?
I'll just pull out the rate sheet. It's $800, so I'm fine with that. That's
good.
Not a problem for me.
So, okay, let's say that I'm now referred to you, okay?
Uh-huh.
And I say, well, April, I've been to personal trainers before, and they charge me like $25, you know, some of them $30. Why should I pay you $800, and why should I pay it to you in advance? You haven't even trained me yet.
So, did you get results with those trainers that you can really hold on to?
A little. You know, I lost a couple pounds, but then I didn't stick to it.
Mm-hmm. So this is giving you I don't want to justify. But anyway, it's giving you the tools that you need for a lifetime and to get it off and keep it off. And not only that, it's not just about weight. It's about the overall health of and vitality for – anyway.
Okay, I put you on the spot. No, I appreciate it. I put you on the spot. Let's say that works, and I go, okay.
Taking care of the health issues that you have or may or may not have for that pre-existing diabetes or pre-diabetic.
Or weight loss resistance. It's a huge issue, no pun intended. Yep. Okay, now suppose they finish the program, and they say, can we do another 3 weeks for 800? I like that. Can we do another 3 weeks for 800?
I always preface it at the beginning that this is a one-time thing. So we have.
Okay, so how much will it be now?
There is either the $6,000 program, that's a 10-week program, which is all-inclusive, all-intensive, transgenesis, or it's a $125 on an ongoing basis per session.
Okay, so let me give you some really cool math now, okay, because when we talk about establishing your value. If they pay $800 for 3 weeks and they're happy, right? Let's say they lost 9 pounds. They're really happy, right?
Yeah.
And now they go, that was a good deal. I like that because now all of a sudden $800 for 3 weeks makes sense to them, correct?
Right.
Okay. So now if you charge them $125 twice a week, that would be $750 for 21 days.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you never again have to argue the value.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Once they pay that $800 and they go, can I pay $800 again? You go, no, you pay $750.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And that's what they said. That's what that lady said that took through the 3 weeks. They're like, oh, wait a minute. Oh, okay. No problem. Wrote a check for the next six or whatever sessions.
Good. And then, you know, in the case where you feel that they need that 10-week intensive, be very forceful in telling them that. Say, you know, I'm really thrilled you lost the 9 pounds. Now, the question is, do you really want to get to the point? I don't know if you read the boards on the Alive Across America, but there's a guy, I can't think of his name, who just said he's down 42 pounds, 17 pounds away from his college weight, you know, something like that.
Wow, nice.
So that's from going through Alive and the 21-day program. So the question really becomes, now that you've done this thing over 3 weeks, do you really want to get to the ultimate? You know, do you really want to reverse this disease fully? Because it's not likely you'll do it in 21 days, but you certainly brought about improvement. So if you want the all of what April can deliver, you know, including the full intensive and the discussions about nutrition, then it's $6,000. But there are times that you should just say to somebody, this is what you should do next.
Yeah.
Because it's 10 weeks. It's a massive investment of April's time. It's time beyond the sessions. It's April guiding the client forward. It's full-on coaching. It's the establishment of a relationship, not just the 2 hours a week, with the intensive goal of permanent change. So when you have a case where it's in your mind justifiable, just go right to it. Don't make it a, would you rather do the 125 or would you rather do the 6,000? Just give them the option that you believe they should do.
Yeah.
And that way, if they go, can I just stay with 250 a week for two sessions? You'd go, sure. But I still recommend you go to, you know, the bigger program.
Yeah.
Some
of the people that I have a hard time because they're not in town for 10 weeks. You know, that's the other thing that I've come up against is.
Okay, but when they go out of town,
I'm
do they eat?
For a month. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I do understand that.
Yeah, but when they go out of town, they're still living. They're still making choices. They're still doing things. So if you position it, like, how will you bring about the change if you're only relying on the times that you're in town? You know, April, there was a time that I was traveling 50 weeks out of the year, not 50 weeks straight. But if you look at my calendar, I would have trips every week for 50 different weeks. So imagine if I said I'm only going to work out when I'm in town. right? I mean, you got to somehow find a way when you're traveling too, and you try to make the choices where you either bring some elastic tubing with you, or you stay in a hotel with a gym, or you find a gym in the area that will honor your membership, or you find a place that'll, you know, $25 and go 6 o'clock in the morning. You find a restaurant that has organic food, and that's where you become extremely valuable in that role too. It's almost like a concierge. So if you're making a 10-week commitment to them, it's not 10 weeks of them being in town. It's 10 weeks. So you can schedule telephone conversations. They can call you from the airport. You know, I mean, but just know the value of what you deliver, because that's the huge difference between you and a personal trainer who's going to go, okay, I'll see you in 2 weeks when you come back.
Right.
Okay, good. All right, now, remember the numbers here. If you, and I'm not only talking April, I'm talking everybody, if you get only 12 clients twice a week at $125 a session, that's $12,000 a month, $144,000 a year. Just let that sink in. I'm going to do a webinar to attract some more people in to be better. Not giving all the details, of course, you guys have, but just giving that math, because it's a simple model. It's a very simple model for a personal trainer. Now, the truth is most trainers are not going to be able to charge what you charge, not for some time. They have a lot to learn. But just to look at the model, if you get only 12 clients, and you've probably heard, you remember my talk about just one client a month, about Pizza Hut selling one more pizza each month. If you get only one client a month, I mean, in a year you establish a $144,000 income. Well, you guys are already close to it. You just have to kick things up a little bit. But what a beautiful strategy. 125 on a series, 12 clients twice a week, it's $144,000 a year for training. That's with no additional revenue streams. That's with no spillover. Now, if you do bring on a spillover, whether it's your husband or somebody you hire, and you can elevate to bringing your spillover 12 clients, and then you hire somebody else and they get 12 clients, You are literally generating $250,000 a year without a change in strategy. And for those of you who do want to do groups, there's an extra opportunity. You can create groups for the 21 days and still charge $800. In fact, it consolidates the teaching hours. If you have 10 people all signed up for the 21-day program at the same time, that's $8,000 for a funnel that in and of itself can create over $50,000 a year every time you do a group. So I really just hope you're getting the economics of this, because my hope was that after you've learned everything you've learned, that I can turn it into dollars and cents today so you get it. So you get out of that place of looking at our industry and looking at the fees and thinking what the market will bear and really understanding it at a level that becomes intimate, where it becomes ingrained in you, the true value of what you do. Sounds like Tammy's really close. Sounds like Jason's there. Jason, are you there or am I giving you too much credit?
No, I'm there. I got to get more people into it, but I'm definitely there. I have no qualms, nothing issues in my mind for it. I'm there just getting more people in the process and doing it.
Good. And when you had your talk with Tony, do you get just a little frustrated because you know he should just take the leap?
I told him, I go, dude, you've been in this game longer than I have. He should be teaching me.
Maybe instead of you going to Staten Island and kicking his ass, maybe he should come to visit you and see how you do it. Just a thought. One of the hardest things for people, of course, is change. And one of the things that makes change really hard is fear. So when you have fear and resistance to change ganging up on you with a negative talk monster, you know, it's hard. So, Jason, did you have those at one time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I came from the $8 an hour landscape, man. So the good thing is that Bob and I talk about pretty much every week on this stuff to really challenge ourselves as far as
I guess you had each other to keep yourselves accountable, too. Like any time, you know, I once hitchhiked to Florida with my friend Richie, and it was the dumbest thing we ever did. But the only reason we went all the way was because neither of us would back out. Neither of us had the balls to back out. And I think, you know, with you and Bob, it's kind of similar that you took this on and you're now accountable, right? You kind of made the public statement, or at least to each other. So you had to follow through.
Now, it took some time as far as just the self-belief that we're worth it. But once you start getting exposed to the information and what you can do with it, man, it's just, it goes away quick.
And I want to ask, is there anything that I told you that wasn't true once you hit it? In other words, when I said people will be responsive, they'll give it to you without question. They have been to doctors. You're going to see change in their CRP, like all of those things. Was there anything I said that you said, no, that didn't really happen?
No.
So any blocks were emotional. None of them were rational, right?
It was all in my head.
All right. So, you know, Tony, hear that. That's why I'm saying the change will take place in a moment, and you really just have to make, you know, a true decision where you just cut off any other option. All right. And then finally, any thoughts on the Newbie Better group starting up? I know some of you were on the call, and I appreciate you being there on Tuesday, because to me, this is my idea. This is my, I think, opportunity to indoctrinate some trainers into a greater way of thinking, but it's going to take them a year and a half to get anywhere near the level of thinking that you guys are struggling to achieve right now. So it's really just a very naive market, and it's just moving them forward. Any thoughts on that call?
I was only on half of it. But yeah,
I'm glad you were, by the way, and I appreciate you jumping in. It was great.
It was just in time because I just heard you, like, oh,
good
timing. so that was good. So you can definitely hear where they are, and it's where we were however many years ago. So it is and to see that some of the stuff that we're still working with, it still comes up even for ourselves.
Yeah, so my hope is that April and Tasso and Tony and Jason, that you guys will coach them, because once we get a few months into the program, they're going to get overwhelmed. And I'm telling you, what I'm teaching them is very surface compared to what you guys have learned. So that's my hope, is that we'll create mentor relationships where you'll be able to charge them just to do like 30-minute coaching on the phone. So
yep.
If you stay connected and get to know them now, I think it'll be helpful. And I'm going to try to position you guys, if I know that you're interested, as that. So April, already I positioned you as, you know, the one who was shy at the beginning and forced yourself to step forward. So I think easy for somebody who has that concern, I'm going to go, you know what, you need to set an appointment with April.
Yep.
And that group is still growing. It's going to grow for another 4 weeks. So I appreciate you guys being there. Okay. I hope this had impact, as every call, but I really want to just put this, I want to move past this. I want to move past trying to talk you into what you believe you're worth. I just want you guys to get there. And I like that you're talking to each other, so keep that going. And until we speak again, be better, everybody. Bye-bye.